Blog Talk Radio.
I'm alright. Nobody's heard about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm alright.
Welcome to Own Your Life with me, your host, Dennis Carradine. The road to owning your success takes dedication, hard work, education, and change. This show is dedicated to helping you start on the path to owning your success and your life. Happy 2015, everyone. I'm Dennis, your host. This is Own Your Life. It's good to be back. Behind the microphone doing the podcast after about a month. We've had all the holidays right there on that Wednesday going into Thursday. Sorry I didn't do a podcast while the ball was dropping this past Wednesday or during Christmas Eve. I was actually at a midnight mass. I was thinking about everybody and thinking about everybody that would listen to the podcast. So welcome back. Hello, I hope you're listening. I hope you are well in this subarctic weather that has affected something that the last report, 40 different states here on January 7th. But we're going to get into it. First, let's kind of get the social media stuff out of the way. You could follow me on the web at DennisCarradine.com or NewPerspectivesInc.com. That's my practice. Or please follow our foundation at TheTraumaSurvivorsFoundation.com. Look me up on Facebook at facebook.com/Dennis Carradine Jr. or /The Trauma Survivors Foundation or /New Perspectives Inc. And you could always Twitter or twit-twat-twit-twoo and all that great stuff that you could do with Twitter on at Dennis Carradine or at New Perspect Inc. or at TTSF2. Please email me at Dennis@NewPerspectivesInc.com. Any suggestions for the new year? Any thoughts on guests or anybody that we should interview? We have several different shows that are going to come up with different guests that are going to be coming up in the next few weeks that I'm hopefully going to be really great. And a lot of those guests were actually referred to me by people that listen to the podcast. But please give me that email, Dennis@NewPerspectivesInc.com. And as always, and hopefully continued here on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock, follow me on blogtalkradio.com/Dennis Carradine. So that's out of the way. Got some announcements towards the end of the program tonight. But we are going to talk about these silly little New Year's resolutions. Now, when I say silly little, I want you to kind of think about this. Every year, New Year is going to happen. It's going to happen whether we want it or not. I had a patient come in, which I thought was just priceless. And I, you know, I'm wishing everybody a happy New Year this week, and asking them, you know, how was it? What did you do? And this patient of mine looked at me and said, well, it was going to be New Year's whether it was going to be happy or not. And I said, well, you are absolutely correct. Most of us will watch the ball drop, you know, from Times Square, which it was interesting to me this year. I don't know if everybody else, maybe it was just me, but if you caught the different shows, there was the one Pitbull was hosting that literally somebody needed to give that man a towel. Oh, my God, he had sweat completely through his tuxedo. He's just dripping in sweat the entire time. And all I thought is somebody has to have a towel for this guy. Then you had what was it, on Channel 10? You had Carson Daly. That Carson absolutely stepped up to me. I had for years thought Carson was kind of pompous, somewhat douchey, didn't really like him. But he ended up wearing the NYPD hat that had the police department on it, paying homage to the two slain New York Police Department officers. That was amazing to me. But he was there with, I can't think of her name. She was she's a supermodel. And then they was there with Terry Crews from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And this other guy that nobody knew, but this guy was getting hammered on camera from the champagne, and I'm watching this like, what's going on? At midnight, Terry Crews gets up and takes off his shirt and starts flexing his pecs. And I went, I think somewhere along the line, watching this ball drop, we have jumped the shark with it. So shortly after, everybody gets rid of this celebration. Hopefully you woke up the next day, you're watching the Mummers a little bit, and you're starting to think about these resolutions. It comes around once a year. One, I don't get it, why it only has to happen once a year where you make a resolution, but let's kind of run with this a little bit. So we make a resolution. We tell ourselves that we want to change. We want to do something. You know, we want to make sure that this whatever decision we're going to make is going to last for the entire year. The problem that we have, and a couple of problems. First, I want to talk about the problems and the good things. First, resolution. We're going to resolve to do something. Okay? Typically, that doesn't work. There was a study by Miller and Marlett in 1998 that said the popular New Year's resolutions that were set were that during the studies, 37% of people said they would start to exercise. 13% said that they would eat better. 7% said they would reduce the consumption of alcohol, caffeine, and other drugs, or they would quit smoking. According to the same survey, most people, which were 75%, who make a resolution, fail on their first attempt. And most people, which was 67%, make more than one resolution at the time. So from a psychological perspective, it might be interesting to ask exactly what determines how many goals people set or how many resolutions they set and how successful they are. So we have to think about this. What's the problem with setting a resolution? Why do so many of them fail? Well, first and foremost, they're resolutions. They're not goals. People say, I'm going to resolve to something versus I'm going to work up to something. So we have to look at that during that haze of champagne or whatever it is, we make a resolution in haste. Instead of taking an hour or so to reflect on something, we pause for maybe a half a second and then tell everybody in the room, this year I'm going to run the New York Marathon. Or this year I'm going to be in the best shape of my life. Or this year I'm going to stop smoking completely. And everybody around you goes, oh, well, that's a good resolution. But you were only thinking about it for maybe a half a second. You really didn't take time to reflect on what that means and what that actually would do if you were to run a marathon in a year. Okay, sometimes they're simply too ambiguous when we start saying these things. I think the first one is when people say, I want to get in shape. I think it was Robin Williams once said, you know, my New Year's resolution was I wanted to get in shape, so I want to be a rhombus or a triangle. It really means nothing. It's just too ambiguous. You want to be realistic. You know, the new year should look like a blank slate, or in psychology we could call it a tabula rasa. But we have to realize that you're the same person you were last year, which was just a few minutes or a few hours ago when you made this resolution. You got to think about what's realistic for you and plan accordingly. So I had a patient come in last year, and an awesome patient, and I remember this because she's still with me. She's coming back, and her resolution or her goal, I'll say, because she made this goal, she said for the year she wanted to lose 40 pounds. And I almost jumped and said, wow, 40 pounds in a year, that's nothing. You know, you could do that in a few months. I didn't say that, though. I sat back and I said, okay, so what's your realistic plan for this? And she broke down this plan of how she was going to give up, you know, certain sugars in her coffee, that she was going to eat more organic, that she was going to do this or do that. And she had this great plan. She thought about it, and it was very realistic. Her idea was that if she set the goal at 40 pounds with all these different little sub-goals, that she would ultimately take the 40 pounds off. Now, in all truth, she needed, and this was from her doctor, not just from her, she needed to lose 65 pounds that would get her to a healthy weight. She ended up losing 70 pounds by following that plan. So again, you got to think about what's realistic. Most resolutions are made half-heartedly. Many of us make resolutions of one kind or another because somebody asks us, so what's your resolution for the year? Think about it. How many people came up to you individually and said, or collectively, whatever you want, and said, so what are you going to resolve to do this year? What's your New Year's resolution? And I love the old joke of, you know, well, I resolved to the fact that I'm not going to make any resolutions. Yeah, that's great. But think about it. We normally just spout something off. You have to make a resolution when you want to, not when you're supposed to. So if you really didn't have an answer, and I'm not being harsh to somebody, somebody says, so what are your New Year's resolutions? And you really haven't thought about it. You say that, well, I haven't made any yet. I haven't decided on what I was going to do yet. You want to make a resolution after deliberation, in moderation, and with full resolve, meaning that you need to be committed to that resolution. Remember, real simple, to be successful with those resolutions, you have to have a strong initial commitment to make a change. You have to have coping strategies to deal with the problems that will come up during that resolution period. And you ultimately want to keep track of your progress. So you don't want to make it half-heartedly. You want to be able to commit fully to that resolution, which I think is kind of interesting. Again, like we talked about, the top New Year's resolutions are weight loss, exercise, smoking cessation, and even debt reduction. You know, after 6 months, only about half of resolution makers are still on track to even meet any of those goals. I asked folks that were going to listen to the podcast to give me some of their thoughts on what they wanted to make a resolution for, and I want to talk about them here because it's funny. Not funny, haha, but the funny, ironic part is that those resolutions that I just mentioned are kind of what these folks are talking about. Lindsay out there says, I want to improve my health, and I like this. And I know Lindsay, she wants to curse less often. So, you know, quit being a trucker mouth there, Lindsay. No, just kidding. She's awesome. My fraternity brother, Mark, he says, I want to get better organized in addition to save more money. So we're debt reduction, and watch what I eat and exercise regularly. Now, I have to give a kudos to Mark because I have tracked Mark on Facebook, and Mark took in a journey to eat better and to lose weight, and I don't know how much he's lost, but he looks phenomenal. There is you could see this definite change in him. And my buddy Jason here, make time to work out, drink less soda, work less, travel more, work less, travel more, and be better organized. All of these that they have said are kind of in that wheelhouse of what we talked about, of what people ultimately resolve to do, which is fine, which is absolutely fine. There is nothing wrong with that. Keep in mind, but we have to develop a way to keep those resolutions. We have to develop a way that says we're going to stay on track, not for a month, not for 2 months, but for the entire year, ultimately creating a habitual response to improving ourselves. Lori had said, she loves the one-word resolutions like exercise, laugh, or smile. I find these one-word resolutions are easier to keep because they aren't too lofty. Well, it's great. You know, you want to exercise, you want to laugh, or you want to smile, but in what context? And ultimately, let's build on those goals. But I think that's great. And the coup de grace here, which I think is where I want this podcast to go, and the advice that I'm going to give you comes from Kim. Kim says, resolutions don't work for me and never have. I set small goals throughout the whole year, much more realistic, and so inspiring to hit a goal and set another. Instead of setting one unrealistic resolution once a year and being mad at yourself for not following through, then waiting a whole other year to make a whole other set of resolutions, preach on, Kim, that is incredible. So that's what we're talking about here, is setting these realistic expectations of what you're doing. So let's kind of talk about the list, all right? What type of resolution or what type of goal are you going to make for yourself? Sometimes our list of New Year's resolutions looks like a list of chores, things you should do but do not particularly want to do. Again, listen to that. Things that you should do but you don't want to do. Do most of us want to get in the gym every single day and exercise? Of course not. That requires work, and those damn weights are heavy, so we don't want to do it. But you know what? We probably should do it. You want to consider a resolution or a goal that inspires you, something you just want to do. Doing things that make life joyous and meaningful will promote your health and well-being. So if you're thinking of something that's going to be really good for you, then it's there. I made a resolution years ago, or a goal, you know, now it's been years, which I think is kind of cool. And I go in with what Jason says, the drink soda list. I gave up all sodas. And I gave them up. This was on my own. Nobody told me 100%, but I was, and I might have mentioned this in different podcasts or whatever it is, but I was that hardcore Diet Coke drinker. I would drink, you know, 5-6 of the 44-ounce fountain Diet Cokes, and it was bad for me. I mean, I know it is, and we all know that Diet Coke is not good for you. So I had to switch over, and that was that resolution that was meaningful to me. It was fun at the beginning because it was like, well, what can I drink outside of, you know, other like juices or whatever it is that wouldn't be soda, that didn't have the high fructose corn syrup or didn't have the nasty chemicals or anything. And I settled on polar seltzer water, and then I started drinking the Pellegrino. And I got into a bad habit of the unsweetened iced tea, which I that's one of my goals this year, is to kind of kick that habit as well. But it was meaningful to me. It meant that when I was reading an article that actually my son had sent to me, that men over the age of 35 that were soda drinkers had a more likely chance of having a heart attack earlier in life, meaning between the age of 35 and 55. And this is my son sending that to me. So this was very meaningful for me to break it down. So I set that goal. And I achieved that goal. Took me about a week. I was really surprised. I was very surprised at the steps that it took, that it only took a week for me not to crave it anymore. And then came my other lofty goal. And I think this was a very lofty goal, but it was something that I was looking forward to because it had meaning. Because, again, here comes another article for my son, love him to death. He wants me to be okay. But it was about men and then red meat and that it would have heart attack and pancreatic cancer and all this garbage that was in it that I thought, oh, my God. So my goal then was I was going to give up red meat. And I set that goal and said, this is how it's going to be, and we'll start eating chicken and turkey and fish and everything outside of the red meat. It took me a month to just feel right. It literally was a month of almost feeling like I had the flu because of the things that my body went through. But the whole time, I was focused on that resolve of getting past this blockade. It had meaning to me. You know, and there's many other things, and we'll talk about it as we continue, but other things that should bring meaning to you to get it out. So once you set that resolution or that goal, make sure, absolutely make sure that it's sort of meaning, whether you're going to live your life longer, whether it's going to make your family happy, whether it's going to make you more successful in your career, but it has to have meaning. It can't be off the cuff, some junk type of goal that you throw out there. It has to have meaning. So what is the key to success for the relation, for the resolutions of the goals? People who kept their resolutions tended to have, one, broken their goal into smaller steps, what Kim was saying, right? Two, rewarded themselves when they achieved one of these goals. Okay. And I, you know, it's funny. I'm going to go in there, broken their goal into smaller steps. You know, you have to break this down that, okay, you're going to exercise. And let's put it out there. I want to exercise more. What does that mean? Well, it's funny as hell to me. I go to a small 24-hour gym because I'm up all over the place all the time, right? So when I get in there, and I like it, and I've slacked off in the past several months, but and this is one of those things, I'm breaking it down, that I'm going to start going 2 nights a week. Eventually, in 3-4 weeks, I'm going to be going 3 nights a week. And then in the next, you know, 8 weeks, it's going to be 4 to 5 nights a week. And you break it down into simple, simple goals. And once you do that, it gets easier. It gets easier. What I find is funny is that come January 2nd, the majority of gyms, and you could say if I'm lying with that, capitalize on the fact that January 1, everybody woke up and looked down at themselves and said, oh my God, I'm fat and I need to lose 3,000 pounds by the end of the week. So they go to the gym, they sign these gym memberships, all right? They whatever money they pay a month now, whatever they paid down, they sign it on January 2nd, and then they go in there and they lift every weight and they try to run, and then they wake up on January 3rd in absolute pain and they never go back. And that's the way it is. You got to break it down a little bit. Three, most people that kept their resolutions told their friends about their goals. This is a funny thing. If you tell somebody that I am doing something, then you don't want to lose face. You want to save face. You want to be able to show that progress to someone. You know, you want to be able to say, this is what I've done. So ultimately, I'm feeling good about myself. Most of those people focused on the benefits of the success. What's good about losing weight? Well, focus on what that means. Maybe your clothes fit better. You don't have to go out and spend a ton of money on a new wardrobe. Maybe, you know, it's the fact that with the debt consolidation, you're able to get a little bit more money, you know, at the end of the week so you could treat yourself to something nice or go out and have fun. But focus on the benefits of the success. And another really great thing that we saw with people that have success with the resolutions is they kept a journal of all their progress, is that they wrote down what their goals were, and then they wrote down how they achieved those goals or how they got closer to those goals. You know, again, if you want to lose weight, then you write down, you know, whatever calories there are. Here in the Philadelphia area, there's a radio show, Preston and Steve, and they always talk about this Lose It app, and who else was it? It was on, it just trended on Facebook and so forth. You don't have to get an app for it, but you should at least write something down to say that this is how many calories I'm taking in, this is how many calories I'm losing, this is what I'm doing, and going back and forth with it. You want to keep that progress. You want to know how much you're lifting, how much money you're saving. Make sure you keep a journal to all that progress. People who planned a series of smaller goals have an average success rate of 35%, while those who followed all five of the above strategies that we just talked about had a 50% chance of success. This was a study that they found. The most successful techniques involve making a plan and helping yourself stick to it. So remember, some simple things. Set the goal, make the plan, get to work, stick to it, reach the goal. I'll say that again. Set the goal, make a plan, get to work on it, stick to it, and reach the goal. It's pretty simple if you look at it in those regards. Or at least in my mind, it's pretty simple. Might not be. We'll throw that out there. So we want to choose a specific realistic goal. Let's look at that one. Every year, millions of adults resolve to lose weight or get into shape during the next year. Instead of selecting such an ambiguous goal, focus on something more concrete that you can realistically set your sights on. Choosing a concrete, achievable goal also gives you the opportunity to plan exactly how you're going to achieve your goal over the course of the year. All right, pick one resolution. Again, we've been talking about multiple resolutions and so forth. But while you may have a long list of potential New Year's resolutions, you should just pick one and focus your energies on it rather than spreading yourself too thin among a number of different objectives. So let's kind of put it in this context. So your resolution, quote unquote, is to lose weight. Okay, that's ultimately this overarching goal. So let's put a number to it. You want to lose 25 pounds in the next year. Whether you lose more, that's immaterial, but that's your goal. So how are you going to get to lose 25 pounds? Well, you're going to have to exercise. You're going to have to eat right. You're going to have to make certain choices, and you want to focus your energies on that. Now, if you get that goal done a little bit earlier than a full year, then maybe throw in another one. Maybe that's when you throw in something that makes sense. But you could also incorporate a lot of your thoughts to that one goal. And that one goal, say, to lose 25 pounds, well, we know that means, okay, again, you exercise. But that might mean give up soda. That might mean you don't want to smoke. You know, you don't want to eat certain foods or whatever it is. So you can incorporate your thoughts into it but try to stick to one pretty overarching one. Don't wait until the last minute. Planning is an essential part of achieving any goal. We know this. Most experts suggest that you should spend some time planning on how you will tackle a major behavior change. You can start by writing down your goal. Make a list of things you might want to do to achieve the goal, and also noting any obstacles that might stand in your way. Okay, let's go. And again, I'm just using an example, but it's normally what everybody says. One of the biggest obstacles that you have might be your work schedule to getting to the gym to lose weight or whatever it is. Okay, for me, you know, it's horrible sometimes. I'll get up. I'm in the office sometimes, you know, 8, 9 o'clock, whatever it is, and I don't emerge from my office until sometimes midnight unless I have to teach or I have an emergency or whatever it is. So one way to get rid of my obstacle of getting to the gym was to find a 24-hour gym. Yeah, no, and I'm not promoting it, but I go to Snap Fitness, and they're all over the place, you know. But maybe you don't want to go to a gym in a certain area. Then research it. Get those obstacles out of your way. Once you have those obstacles out of your way, you are more likely to achieve those goals. Start with the simple small steps. Focus on taking tiny steps that ultimately help you reach your larger goal. While it may seem like a little slow start, these small changes make it easier to stick to your new habits and increase the likelihood of long-term success. It's very much the same premise of whether you're going to stop smoking or stop doing something. It was funny. Early on, when I decided not to eat the red meat, I had to find alternatives that I liked that would give me the same sensation. So it was funny, those small steps. I said, all right, well, no red meat. I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to chance it. What I found was that even though like pork is the other white meat or whatever it is, that I couldn't eat pork because that would remind me too much of barbecue and I would want brisket. So I had to do small little goals to say, okay, I'm getting rid of this and then I'm going to go to that. I did like a chicken breast, but I put steak sauce on it. It was weird. But it was those simple little things that eventually I stopped doing that. And now, you know, I developed different recipes and things that I was okay with. You want to just do a slow thing. You want to just look at your larger goal and focus on those tiny steps. Avoid repeating the past failures. If you choose to reach for the same goals you've tried for in the past, spend a little time evaluating your past results. If you said last year, I want to get to the gym and I want to work out, and you might have went 3 times last year, what were the reasons? Which strategies were the most effective? Which were the least effective? And what has prevented you from keeping your resolutions in the past year? By changing your approach, you will be more likely to see the real results in this next year. All right? Identify and address some of the barriers. What might get in the way? What might help you to overcome that roadblock? And you want to list several solutions or ideas to overcome that obstacle. And again, I'm just using myself as this example, is that I had to, for that month's time, when I stopped eating red meat, I had to avoid steakhouses like the plague. I had, you know, offers, hey, you know, let's go to Texas Roadhouse or let's go Sullivan's or whatever it is. And I had to politely decline because I knew that would get in my way, that I knew that the cravings would come back. So I had to avoid that for that time period. But then ultimately it just got easier. Now, you know, I'm perfectly fine with it. It's not a big deal. It's been, you know, almost 3 years, 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that. I'm losing track. But it's been a while, and I've noticed those changes in me. You want to enhance confidence using a problem-solving approach to some of these problems. How confident are you that you can set that goal, or you could reach that goal that you set? Maybe looking at the 0 to 10 scale. You know, we use this for like pain, like, you know, what's your pain level? 0 being no pain whatsoever, to 10 being the worst pain in your entire life. I love it when somebody comes back and says 20. Okay, whatever. But you want to use like a confidence scale. 0, no confidence. You're not going to do this. You're not going to be able to reach this goal. To 10 being that absolute 100% confidence that you'll do it. Okay, so say you set the goal of losing 25 pounds. How confident are you going to be in that scale to lose 25 pounds in a year? Think about what makes you that confident. What would help you to be more confident, and who else might help you to become even more confident in the way that you lose weight or get to that goal? Remember, change is process. Change has a process to it. Those unhealthy habits that you're trying to change probably took years to develop. So how can you expect to change them in just a matter of days, weeks, or months? That's what I said. People go into the gym in one day, think they're going to lose 10,000 pounds in a week. It's not going to happen. It may take longer than you would like to achieve your goals, but remember, it's not a race to the finish. You're competing with yourself. So if you want to make this change happen, you can make it happen. Don't worry about anybody else. Worry about you. Once you have made the commitment to changing a behavior, it is something that you will continue to work on for the rest of your life. So once you change that behavior and make that solid commitment to change, believe it or not, that behavior will constantly change. If you made that change to say, I'm going to be healthier this week by doing X, Y, and Z, going to the gym, losing 25 pounds, not drinking soda, not eating processed foods, whatever it is, you make that commitment and you continue with it, it becomes habitual. You want that in your life, and it will continue to be that way. Make sure you don't let the small little stumbles bring you down. Encountering a setback is one of the most common reasons why people give up on their New Year's resolutions. If you suddenly relapse into a bad habit, don't view it as a future. View it as something that you fell back on. Oops, it happens. Again, you go back to the gym and you lift every weight in the entire gym that day, and you're feeling pain the next morning when you wake up. Well, that's because you fatigued yourself. You kind of destroyed your body. That doesn't mean don't go back to the gym. It means take a day or two and then go back and take it slow. Try keeping a resolution or goal journal. Write down important information about when the lapse occurred and what might have triggered it. By understanding the challenge you face, you will be better prepared to deal with them in the future. Let's look at the smoking cessation, the stop smoking. Most people that I talk to, patients and friends and what have you, the reasons that they go back to smoking is either a social cue, meaning that they had friends and they missed going out to the terrace or whatever it is to smoke a cigarette with people, or it was some sort of stressor and it kicked them back into the smoking. You want to understand your triggers to how this happens and why it happens. The more understanding that you have, the better you're going to be able to deal with those little roadblocks. You absolutely have to get support from your friends and families. Yeah, you've probably heard it a billion times, but that is because the buddy system actually works. Having a solid support system can help you stay motivated. Come on. Explain what your goals are to your close friends or family and ask them to help you achieve your objectives. Enlist the help of others by joining a group that shares your goal. What makes Weight Watchers so popular? It's because people get a coach. They get in there and they could go. You know, I hear these weird stories of alcoholics that don't want to go to AA because that's not going to work for me and I don't want to share it. Oh my God, what is it? 10 million people can't be wrong. People get healthy and they get sober by going to a group meeting that people are sharing the same story and they understand each other. So if you tell your buddy or your friend or your loved one, look, I want to lose 25 pounds this year. Can you help me? Guess what? 9 times out of 10, they're not going to say no. They're probably going to go, okay, what do you need me to do? Do you need me to remind you to eat a salad versus a burger? Do you need me to go to the gym with you? Do you need me to walk with you? As long as you have that, you could support each other. You know, I tend to do well at the gym when I have a workout partner. I like going by myself. I don't like a ton of people around me. But when I have a workout partner, it tends to make me push a little bit more. Think about it. You want a solid support system, people that are going to be in your corner at all times. I was doing a little bit of research. And I found this article on this thing called SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T. It's an acronym. the SMART goals, pretty simple. S stands for specific. M is measurable. A is action-oriented or achievable. R is realistic or rewarding. And T is time-based and trackable. So again, SMART goals, specific, measurable, action-oriented and achievable, realistic and rewarding, and time-based and trackable. Some of the examples of these SMART goals, what I found in this article, was for physical activity, I will walk briskly for at least 15 minutes every day this week. That's an example of it. Another example would be I will take the stairs up the 3 flights to my office at least once each day that I am at work this week. And finally, another example will be I will do 20 minutes of lower extremity strengthening exercises 3 times a week. That goes back to specific, measurable, action-oriented, achievable, realistic, rewarding, time-based, and trackable, if you go very specific. Some examples of SMART goals for eating wisely, of what I found in this article. I will add a green salad to my dinner meal 2 nights per week or at lunch every day for the next 2 weeks. I will include 2.5 cups of variety of fresh canned or frozen vegetables in my diet 3 times a week for the next 2 weeks. I will include 2 cups of variety of fresh canned or frozen fruit in my diet twice a week for the next month. Next week, I will not add any additional salt at the table when eating at home or a restaurant. Those are awesome. Those are awesome goals that contribute to a ton of them. And this article was great. It's about healthy living. And I found a couple other ones in here, too. One of the big ones was the SMART goals for being tobacco-free. Some of the SMART goals are, I will call my doctor for nicotine patches and see if I can get the script filled today. My quit date will be the 1st of the month, so February 1st, maybe. I will gather all my lighters and ashtrays and throw them out, since this time I am quitting for good. I will tell my wife and my friends that I am quitting this weekend can help me instead of offering me cigarettes. They go back to those SMART goals. It's very straightforward, very easy. Limiting the alcohol was another SMART goal in the article. The examples were, I'm going to set myself a 2-drink limit for each day starting today, just 2 12-ounce bottles of beer at the most. I'll let my buddies know that I'd appreciate their support by not pushing me more after my 2 beers are done. And after I drink my 2 beers, I will switch to non-alcohol beer. So again, very much a way to kind of look at these goals. You know, remember, whatever you choose to work on is okay. It's your choice. I don't care. You do whatever you want. You want to lose weight. You want to stop smoking. You have to make sure that these goals are okay for you. Reflect on your interests and your values with this. Make sure that you sit back and you look at what is important to you. Ask yourself, what do you want to accomplish or see realized in the next year? You don't have to worry, or at least in my mind, about what anybody thinks about you. You don't have to worry about what anybody else is going to do. You have to worry about you. You want to make sure that you are at least the best person you're going to be. Okay? You want to make sure that everything is going to turn out okay for you. And again, keep in mind, you want to put family and friends in there. You want to make sure that they're happy and okay. But you want to be okay, I guess. So a couple little breakdown. Let's make it simple. 1, set realistic goals. Excuse me, 2s, I don't know. 1, set realistic goals. 2, plan ahead. 3, make tasks non-negotiable. 4, track your progress. 5, reward yourself. 6, allow for some imperfections. 7, don't beat yourself up. 8, stick to it. 9, do it now. And 10, make a pro and con list. I think if you follow those goals, you're going to have absolute great year. Remember, I'm wishing you the best of success. I'm wishing you the best of luck, but you have to do something to make sure that you keep this up. So break it down a little bit. Make sure that you're doing what you need to do yourself, and make sure that you don't fail. All right? Because that's a big thing, is when you fail, you don't want to go back to it. I found another one for the SMART goals, the one that I want to put it out here before I start wrapping things up. I like this one. This was to strive for a healthy weight. It wasn't to lose weight. It was to strive for a healthy weight. It says, I will start using a food diary. and write down everything I eat starting tomorrow. I will cut down on calories by switching to flavored water instead of soda starting this week's grocery shopping. I will increase my exercise time to 30 minutes of walking the dog every evening, at least 5 times a week starting tonight. It didn't say I was going to lose a ton of weight. It said strive for a health weight. And I like that. It's really good. Again, the website is Healthy Living, and you can go to it, and they have this under SMART goals. You want to look for that, and that might help you realize some of these goals. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. I hope this helps out a little bit. I hope it gets to you that you need to start making these goals realistic, and you need to start planning for these goals. You need to do things that are going to be great for you and that are going to make you feel good. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about what they think about you, but you want to get people involved in your life to help you out. So get that support group there, and we're going to be fantastic with it. Got some announcements here. Got some things that are coming up that I want to talk about, and then we'll wrap it up. We got some really good stuff going on. First and foremost, if you are in the Delaware, the Philadelphia area, even if you aren't, make it a point to get here. January 17th, that is next Saturday, folks. I have another show next week that we'll be working on, but this one's going to be fun. We have the Hometown Hero Appreciation Day. There's no joke, there's no lie, there's no nothing right now that law enforcement, firefighting, we're getting beaten up, folks. I mean, we know this. We are absolutely getting beaten up. In the state of Delaware, we know that nearly 2,150 sworn police officers and 49 agencies patrol the streets every single day. 15,000 volunteer firefighters and EMTs protect the state of Delaware's residents through 78 firehouses each and every day. The volunteer fire service in the state of Delaware saves taxpayers $342 million each and every year here in the state of Delaware. And that's not uncommon in any other states. So what we are doing, January 17th, at Overtime Bar and Grill at 105 Kirkwood Square down in here in Wilmington, Delaware, we are doing the Hometown Hero Appreciation Day. We want you to come down to say thank you to our hometown heroes. We want you to come down to thank the police, the fire, the paramedics, the EMS, even military personnel. This is a way to give back. The money that's going to be raised is going to go towards our public safety award, which we have several recipients that we will be honoring at the end of January or early February for 2014. That money is going to go to them, and it's also going to go to training to help them with crisis intervention and so forth. It's going to be cool. There's going to be raffles, prizes, giveaways, 50-50. We have drink specials, including our two signature drinks, which, oh my gosh, we got the backdraft and the blue steel. The backdraft is this sinful little concoction that's made with that fireball whiskey, and the blue steel has this kind of wild concoction with some rum prizes. Yours truly are going to be, I'm going to be flipping pizzas down there. We're going to be making some pizzas. I think we're doing like the personal pizzas, and the money raised by you buying pizzas are going to go to our hometown heroes. Tons of stuff going on. We got Anthony Campanelli is going to be the photographer down there. We got Chris Arena. He's going to do an acoustic set. We got Debbie and the Geezers. They're an awesome band that's going to come down and play. We got Kevin Jackson's going to be a DJ that night. We have a ton of stuff down there. The prizes are getting to be crazy. Anthony Campanelli alone has given us several packages for photography, including family portraits and a modeling package. Chris Arena is donating an acoustic set. Our friends from United Distributing had donated a grill. We're going to have some sports memorabilia. So any of you Philadelphia Eagles fans down there, we're going to have, I think, a Macklin jersey. We're going to have a LeSean McCoy jersey, even a Brian Dawkins jersey. We're going to have a bunch of stuff. It's going to be a great time. The folks at Overtime are great folks. They're going to be down there helping us out. We want you down there. Now, I am putting this as a challenge, and I'm going to be putting this up on my website and put it on the Trauma Survivors Foundation's Facebook. But the challenge is, and I'm putting this out there to you, this is going to any battalion, any patrol, any shift, any police department, firehouse, or whatever. If you are the firehouse, if you are the battalion, if you are the shift, or if you are whatever, if you have the most people that come down to overtime on January 17th, I will personally have a catered event for that group. Okay? That's a huge challenge because we're going to have a private chef come in and we're going to have a catered event to you. Sometime in 2015, we'll set some dates. It might be a barbecue. It might be a dance. It might be beef and beer. We're not sure yet, and I'm not going to tell you. That's going to be the surprise to it. But you have to come down. There's going to be a sign-in book, a sign-in sheet. You write down what station you're from, what service you're from, what battalion or platoon or shift or whatever it is. You're going to write it down, and at the end of the night, we're going to calculate who was where, and we're going to call you, and we're going to set something up for you. So that's my challenge to you. Get down there. Make sure that it happens. And if it does happen, we're going to have that catered event to you. So that's going to be, again, January 17th. It's an all-day event. Starts at 12 o'clock. Goes until whenever they kick us out of that bar, which will probably be at 1 o'clock. But I want you to come down. I want you to pay tribute to the hometown heroes. We need them. We need them in our lives. We need more of them in our lives. They do an awesome job, and we kind of got to get over ourselves about putting these folks down. They're husbands and wives and brothers and sisters, and they're people making a difference in this world. So that's my story. I'm sticking with it. Again, we got the Public Safety Award coming up. Announcements will be made on our Facebook shortly. And we're going to have a great time. So, thank you. Thank you very much. We'll see you on the 17th. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking around. Please make sure that you are good to the people in the life around you. Make sure you tell them that you love and care for them. And make sure you get that support group out there to help you realize your goals for 2015. I will be back next Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Please give a listen to me and tell your friends about me. Have a great night. I'll see you next week.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpiece. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chuck's on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band bought that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just why? Don't believe me, just why? Don't
y'all a little something. Uptown, funk you up. Uptown, funk you up. Uptown, funk you up. Uptown, funk you up. I said, Uptown, funk you up.